Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Crypto Nights. I am your host, Shushakya, and we have today, like always, Dr. Kant by my side. Hi, Dr. Kant. How are you doing?
Excellent, Shushakya. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Okay, so today we are going to talk about something which will surprise you to its maximum. Yeah, surprise. Have you heard about inflationary rate touching up to 8,900%? Surprised, right?
Yeah.
For real. Welcome to Venezuela. The country has turned the Bitcoin to stabilize its economy. A dream. I dream. Now my question to Kant is, do you think this crossover between currency systems will work in Venezuela or in countries who are thinking like this?
Oh my God. This is crazy. The Bolivar has fallen by 98-99%. It has lost 98-99% of its value. So everywhere in the world, they're saying Bitcoin is digital gold. You know, it's like gold. It's never going to be a currency. It's just a store of value and so on and so forth. I don't think Venezuelans are saying that. First of all, the country, Bolivar, the currency of that country has lost 99% of the value. Somebody was jokingly connecting that with Satoshi, right? They're saying that the value of a Bolivar is now equal to one Satoshi. For those of you that don't know what the heck a Satoshi is, each Bitcoin is further subdivisible. Just like a dollar is divisible into 100 cents or 100 pennies,
right?
Or in India, 1 rupee is 100 paisa. Like that, one Bitcoin is further subdivisible, not into 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000, but 100 million Satoshis. So 100 millionth of a Satoshi of a Bitcoin is equal to a Satoshi. It's incredibly, incredibly small. And that incredibly small one is jokingly being equated to a Bolivar. They're saying that the Bolivar is worth a Satoshi, which is practically zero. That's what they're saying. And long lines, scarce food availability, toilet paper being rationed, toothpaste being rationed, bare necessities. I mean, this is like a socialist nightmare that we all know what happens when you have a Robin Hood government. You steal money from the rich and you give it to the poor. It sounds very fanciful, but if it turns out that, yeah, there might be some bad rich that made money by drug dealing or whatever else. But if you look at those that made money the legitimate way by innovating, by adding value to the society, maybe they're a good company that created something valuable and therefore they created that wealth. So now suddenly if you're stealing money from them and redistributing it, the incentive for those that are adding value to produce when all their money that they make is being stolen and redistributed, the incentive is gone. So nobody produces and the economy collapses. You're seeing a classic scenario there. And then on top of that, subsidizing electricity instead of letting people buy based on the amount of money that they have, based on their ability, right? You're distributing electricity based on their need. I mean, talk about unbelievable nonsense upon nonsense. So these are all the things that were done. So what do people do now? They're saying, okay, the Bolivar is not worth anything. So I'm going to use, there is this crazy thing called Bitcoin that keeps going up in value, right? Sure, you might be thinking, heck, it lost 75% of value. It fell from $20,000 down to $5,000. But I don't think Venezuelans are thinking that. They're thinking, oh, that's 100 times better than Bolivar, even after the loss of value. So, and now, of course, I think the Bitcoin has already recovered much of its value. I haven't checked the Bitcoin price today. Let me just check really quickly. So yeah, it's 9,000. So it is recovered. It's almost down by only 55% or something from the high. So as far as Venezuelans are concerned, it's a fabulous backup economy. And they can also mine it using what? Electricity, which is what? Subsidized by the government. Oh, you have this close to free electricity and you can use that to mine Bitcoins. And on an average, miners are making $300 to $500. When you can live like a king on $100 a month. So the whole setup is almost perfect to create a Bitcoin economy, a place where Bitcoin is actually used as a currency. Now, the most obvious thing that happens next is also happening there, which is the number two strongest currency is Ethereum. So Ethereum is also picking up speed because I'm sure there's a competition increase for Bitcoin mining. They found it easier to mine Ethereum and make money quicker, faster, easier. But please note, mining by stealing, as they call it. So while this is subsidized and money is stolen from the rich to give to the poor and all of the other nonsense, while that stealing and redistribution has happened, they're saying, hey, we can steal and give it to you, but you cannot steal too much, more than what you need. We like to control that. If you're going to use this electricity to mine Bitcoin, that is legal. So mining of Bitcoins is or cryptocurrencies is illegal in Venezuela. You can get arrested. But again, there are no rules around cryptocurrency mining. So they find frivolous reasons for mining Bitcoins. Hey, you're using disproportionate amount of electricity. That's why we're going to arrest you. So, I mean, it sounds like a joke and a half, but can you imagine at the ground level how sad it is? How many people in Venezuela are suffering because of this? But given the ingenuity and creativity of mankind, they figured out that there is this cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ether that are stable. So the use case that they have followed is they might be standing in the line to watch a movie, but they're not carrying around two bags of bolivars for the movie ticket. Instead, they have this smartphone, they have access to their Bitcoin wallet, and when they're coming close to their turn to buy the ticket, they just sell enough Bitcoin and convert that into bolivars that they use and pay for the ticket and go in. In other words, the inflation has been so much. It is, I think it's 16 times this year or something like that, 1600% or something like that. Can you imagine how crazy that is? I mean, you start off the year with $10 and end the year with $1. It's like somebody stole $9 from you. So you're afraid to keep your money in bolivars because that money is losing value exponentially, incredibly quickly. So you would rather have the money in a Bitcoin or Ether wallet and then spend exactly the enough money. So now without the use of Bitcoins and Ether, some people are saying that the entire Venezuelan economy will collapse. Can you imagine that? The whole economy can collapse if they're not using Bitcoins and Ethers. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is the country, the government is realizing that the cryptocurrency and trading of cryptocurrencies is almost critical to the economy. So they're allowing that. But mining, which is stealing their electricity, is something that they're against. In fact, they went to the extent of announcing, I don't know what the status of petrol is. You and I should probably look into that, Shakya, in our research. They announced petrol as an oil and gas or government-backed cryptocurrency. I don't know how well it'll do or where it is. But the bottom line is the country itself has come to believe in and rely on blockchain-based cryptocurrencies for the survival of their economy as a whole. Fascinating, isn't it?
That would be a brilliant, brilliant piece brought up by you. And I think it's a little unfortunate for the people who are back at Venezuela who had worked hard in the past and added value to the society are now fallen on the other side of the grass, who are not feeling not the right kind of things are meted out to them by their government. But then I hope that normalcy will soon come down and the currency will stabilize. And obviously, if they are taking after the Bitcoins, they are going to take few steps in order to solidify whatever their thought patterns are. With that, again, a big thank you to Dr. Khan. I think this episode was magnificent and very comprehensive and well-structured. And we had an opportunity to discover a lot of things, a lot of sides, a lot of angles over here from both sides, from all the stratas of the economy. I think a brilliant, brilliant discussion by Kant. And once again, thank you. With that, we conclude today's episode. A special thanks to all our listeners for sticking on to our podcast and pampering us all through. Kindly have a glance through the show synopsis with our important links posted below this podcast. Also, don't forget to visit our website, which is www.cryptonights.io. I would again love to repeat this, www.cryptonights.io. Last but not the least, your views are very important. Just keep showering us with your reviews and ratings in Podomatic, iTunes, and all other social medias, besides telling your friends to listen to us and to share our podcast. As you know, we are the fastest growing crypto podcasts in the world right now. Crypto Nights it is. This is Shashak here with Dr. Khan signing off. have a good day ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.